Why should you visit TheChairShot.com? TheChairShot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
DeMarco, I need you. I can't live without you. I want you right now.
Thank you, Greg. Oh, I want to say, Greg, I love you. I'm serious. I love you. Greg DeMarco, I love you. This is Buggy Nova, and I just want to let all you guys know that I love Greg DeMarco. True, I can't help it.
Greg DeMarco Show.
This is the One Girl Revolution, Taylor Hendricks, and you are listening to The Greg DeMarco Show.
In the ring, kicking ass in the gym, or I'm listening to the Greg DeMarco Show. Boom.
You think you know me?
makes a man? Is it the power in his hands? Is it his quest for glory? Give it all you got to fight to the top, so we can know your story.
And I'm awesome!
With Greg DeMarco.
This is my temple!
And Patrick O'Dowd.
You're welcome!
A girl getting played from the hands of the creator. Locust devouring all the hocus pocus.
Greg DeMarco, I love you.
Don't do it like that, baby.
And sometimes, at night, we spoon.
Take the fish.
And I love you, Greg.
You just made the list.
This is my yard now.
Well, after a slight, long, agonizing delay, we are on the air. It is the Greg DeMarco Show. My name is Greg DeMarco, at Chairshot Greg, on the Twitter. Of course, we do this show live every Tuesday night, and it's available anytime, all the time, on demand, over at thechairshot.com, where we remind you to always use your head. The mission of this show is simple. We exist purely, we've evolved into a show that exists purely to help you enjoy wrestling more. And I do not do the show alone. Even though last week he wasn't here, he is back this week. It is my co-host. He is at Wrestling Realist on the Twitter. That's WRESTLNG Realist. He is the Luke Gallows and Carl Anderson to my Finn Balor. It is the Wrestling Realist, Patrick O'Dowd.
It is a very irritated Patrick. I can't even talk. I'm so mad.
I know. Like, it's hard because, so like, when life goes regular and everything works out fine, you're a pussy then. When shit doesn't go well, you become, like, I don't know, a giant pussy? Like, I don't even know how to describe it. Like you're James Ellsworth with less of a chin right now.
You really just don't want me to be on the show tonight, huh? Really? That's what you know? First of all, your compliment wasn't very complimentary. As I got the nerd skit guys? Like, that's the big deal? I got the guys who jobbed to the Revival? That's what you gave me this week? And then
they're the workhorse of the group.
Then you open the show like
Call it
be a pussy? You open the
steak and Balor's the sizzle. Come on now. This is
all right, it all works, man.
No.
Your stupid technology not working and you're all, you know, I'm having issues and you start by calling me a pussy? Like, that's where you go? Like, you talk about making wrestling fun for people and you think this is fun, it's fun for you. I'm trying to understand this. Like, I don't get how 1 week off, like, suddenly Blog Talk is like, none of your stuff works. That's what it kept telling me.
They're mad at you for taking a week off. They're like, you're not allowed to do that, Patrick O'Dowd.
Yeah, right.
You can't do that shit to us. That's what they
You know why. You know why I couldn't do the show last week. So we'll leave it there.
Of course
there.
I do.
Leave it be.
Pudding.
Yeah, there is that.
Having a bad night, Patrick O'Dowd. No, technology, not our Patrick. It's not my technology. My technology worked great. I sat here and listened to old school wrestling themes for 15 minutes. And
yeah,
cut our show down for 55 minutes to whatever is left. So it is A-okay. Now, last week, Patrick, of course, you weren't here. Derek Montilla, you know, honorably filled in for you. Tried to lay claim to your job at least twice. This is what happens. And so last week we're gonna do a quiz. Last week, Derek Montilla was originally the Shelton Benjamin to my Chad Gable. Now, do you get the reference?
You're the Shelton Benjamin to your Chad Gable, yeah.
Okay, well, what's the reference?
You're talking about you're talking about the tag team, but like.
Well, yeah, but it's very specific. And he didn't get it the first time around. So then I gave him a second clue. Because he can't be the same as you are to me. He's different. And so the second time around, he was the Jason Jordan to my Seth Rollins.
Yeah, no, he's the replacement to the
exactly.
Like, he's the new guy.
I'll be honest with you. He didn't immediately get it. He didn't get it right away.
He didn't get it. He struggled.
He asked if he was the big black guy at first, and I said no. He was like, "I'm the black guy." I was like, "No, you're not the black guy." And then with Jason Jordan and Seth Rollins, he was like, "I'm the half black guy." I'm like, "No, you're not the half black guy either." So, he was the replacement. Exactly, 100% correct. So, that's why you're still on the show.
Oh, thank you.
Yes,
eventually I'm going to figure out why, because I'm a workhorse. I'm still trying to get my headset to work. Like, that's what's going on right now while you talk to me.
This is my yard now.
Just
I'm
stay on the phone at this point. Don't even worry about the headset.
No,
don't.
I'm
just
going
relax.
To fix it. It
this whole
fixed.
Show, the entire theme of this edition of the program was tailor-made for you this week, Patrick. I did this for you because you're my best friend. You're having a rough patch. You're going through a rough patch. So we're going to sit here and we're going to talk about the fun things and the things that you like to talk about in the world of professional wrestling. Look, we could sit here and go 55 minutes talking about, you know, the either the idiocy or the brilliance of a seventh man in the Elimination Chamber. We can talk about, you know, all the craziness that's going down in the world. We can talk about how, you know, Ring of Honor is going to Japan with their Honor Rising shows, and New Japan basically gave all the good talent the weekend off and stuck Ring of Honor with all the bad talent, like, or the lower level talent.
Right.
Like, there's plenty that we could have talked about, but no. I decided for you that we would kick it old school this week, Patrick O'Dowd, just to allow you to enjoy yourself, to kick back, to put your feet up, and just kind of have some fun for a little period of time here. That's what we did for you.
Yeah, I'm on board for that. I was curious when I saw the tweet about what this show is exactly going to bring today when you had – you'd hint it. I just retweeted like a good loyal soldier, that the show was coming in at the link. But I saw kicking it old school, and I'm intrigued. I'm intrigued to see where you're going to direct this conversation.
Well, you have access to what the topics are. You could look, but that's okay. You don't have to.
Oh no,
it's only fun.
I surprised me.
So we'll jump into the old school a little bit here and have some fun, because It's good sometimes to lay the groundwork for the people. And despite nearing 7 years of doing this, we've had snippets of this here and there, but never really dove in to some of these topics head first. So the very first topic of kicking it old school is easy. And it kind of just, again, sets the table a little bit, and it just takes us back. And both of us will talk about all these things. And, of course, the conversation leads us in different directions. But what is your first memory, Patrick O'Dowd, your very first memory overall of professional wrestling?
Oh, gosh.
I can go first if you need. Again, you have access to the questions.
Well, I'm thinking of how to describe it, you know, because I think there are two things that quickly come to mind. one, I was a child of the 80s, and Hulk Hogan was professional wrestling. You know what I mean? And that, like, that was the, he is without a doubt, like, what I remember, like, first and can kind of fall back to. And it was around, actually, WrestleMania. It was in between WrestleMania 3 and 4, because it's the infamous, it was a Saturday night's main event. I always get this where it was either a Saturday night's main event or I can't remember the other special, the infamous double referee incident that led to Hogan losing the title, and leading to the tournament that we then had, that would lead to the development of the Mega Powers. But that is, like, for me, that was the first, like, I remember it was one of the few times my parents, like, my dad was, like, cool with watching that program break down. Like, I remember watching that on TV and totally buying into the, you know, the Million Dollar Man having, you know, set up a second referee, and that there was all this controversy and question of the fake, not fake Heppner. That was the first thing that really, those are kind of the two big memories that blend together, is Hulk Hogan and the hero that he was, blending in with that particular show where Hogan loses on a fast count, and it turns out that it's a phony referee, and the real one comes around in the back, and, you know, Jack Tunney was the most incompetent president in the history of sports entertainment, and of course made it a tournament for WrestleMania 4 to determine who would be the new champion, with Hogan and Andre facing off against each other in the first round.
The second round for Hogan and Andre.
Second round. You're right.
It was the weird 14-man tournament where Hogan and Andre received the bye, which was funny because the next time they did a big tournament like that, the Survivor Series, Deadly Game, they also gave two people a first-round bye. It was Kane and The Undertaker. So, who also were involved with a crooked referee and having the title held up. Only that time it was Stone Cold Steve Austin. So history does repeat itself a lot in the world of professional wrestling. So it's funny because we just passed the anniversary of the main event and the evil twin Heppner situation, which is really funny because Earl Heppner wasn't the one in the WWF at the time. It was Dave. Heppner was the official. Earl came from the National Wrestling Alliance, and then, of course, became the more famous of the Heppners, only to be fired. I wonder if Earl will ever make a comeback in the WWE. Like I know they fired him under some real shitty circumstances, that he was selling a merchandise that he wasn't authorized to sell, and all of that. So I don't know. Like there's just some certain things, but you got to figure Earl belongs in the Hall of Fame. And Earl, he was the referee for the Montreal Screwjob. By the way, Earl was in on it too.
He was.
Just like everyone else involved. But it just seems like Earl should get that recognition and get the return of the company.
I mean, he's no Danny Davis, but, like, I get you.
Of course he's no Danny Davis.
Dangerous Danny.
You know, it's funny because we talk about Earl, and you know, I feel like they should bring Earl back for a big moment. Kind of like they brought back Jim Ross when The Undertaker wrestled Roman Reigns, which is what you do when a guy fucking retires. Sorry, I just got to make sure people understand that.
I was actually, you know, I was kind of working on a one-liner about how in the week that I was gone, I noticed The Undertaker still hadn't come out of retirement like everybody thought.
Right.
Because, you know, he's not going to.
But then John Cena had to show up on Raw and talk about how WrestleMania can bring guys back from the dead. Which now just a whole other round of people talking about The Undertaker coming back. This is John Cena, who once told the crowd that we're going to get the heel turn they've been waiting for, and then he turned his foot on its heel. Like he is known to fuck with people. It's what John Cena does.
Yeah.
It's why he did that. Like, he loves – he's a master manipulator. It's what John Cena does. So just go follow his Instagram account, where he posts pictures with no explanation just to get a reaction out of people. Like, John Cena knows exactly what he's doing. He also knows what he's not doing, and that's facing the Undertaker WrestleMania.
Yeah. Didn't he post, like, a – Didn't he do a punk troll at one point? Didn't he do like a CM Punk troll on Instagram? Yeah.
He's done a Kenny Omega troll. Like, he's done them all.
Oh,
that's what he does.
Yeah, I do remember that one. Yeah. He's allowed to because he's John Cena.
Exactly. He is John F. Cena, and the F doesn't stand for Felix, it stands for fucking. You know, we don't go heavy into the F word, but today we are. This is what idiots talking about the Undertaker coming
right
back to us from.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. You're in a certain DM conversation like I am, too, where the topic of the Undertaker returning comes up at least once a day.
Incessantly.
If not more. Incessantly, yes. They're all laughing. As they hear this, as they hear this all at different times, they're laughing right now because it's an inside joke and they all know what we're talking about. My earliest memory of professional wrestling is a lot earlier than yours. I'm a year and a half older than a year and 3 months older than Patrick O'Dowd. By the way, my birthday's on Friday. For those of you listening, you can tweet me. You can email me as well. GregDeMarco@thechairshot.com. I accept gift cards. It's all good. Here's my Amazon wish list. No, I don't do that. I don't believe in that. But so my earliest memory of professional wrestling, believe it or not, goes back to before the first WrestleMania. And I watched it on and off. I didn't watch it routinely until the build to WrestleMania 2. But I did watch wrestling off and on with my dad. I didn't live with my dad when parents were divorced. I went there on the weekends. And this is the dumbest thing ever. So I went to my dad's on the weekends, and he worked on the weekends. But, you know, the courts are stupid. And so I would go there, and I would, like, play with the kids in the neighborhood and hate my stepmother. Like, that's what I did the weekends during my childhood. And that's just the way it was. And it was, well, like, at one point, his days off for Thursday and Friday. So that was great because I'd see him Friday night. Then he'd have to go to work on Saturday, hang out with him Saturday night, and go to work on Sunday. I'd be gone before he got home. Then his days off switched to Sunday and Monday. So then I got to see him on Sunday. But, yeah, it's just all stupid. But that's kind of the way things work. Anyway, so I would watch wrestling with him occasionally on the MSG network. I grew up in New York, lived on Long Island. My dad lived on Long Island as well. We would watch wrestling on the MSG network. I actually watched Superfly Jimmy Snuka in the cage, the moment that, like, caused Mick Foley to become a wrestler, with the diving, you know, splash on the Magnificent Morocco, which most people think happened during the match. It didn't. Superfly didn't win that match. It happened after the match. When he dove off the cage. But I watched that. I watched that take place on television. I watched the some of the build-up to that moment as well, and didn't fully know what I was watching. And the more I watched it, a lot of what I saw happened at Madison Square Garden, of course, because that's the way that it was, and that started getting me into it. And then one time I was flipping through the channels at home, came across WWF Wrestling, and started following it that way, and, of course, got hardcore into it on the build to WrestleMania 2, which of course featured Hulk Hogan versus King Kong Bundy inside of a 15-foot-high blue steel cage. And I still actually love the old-school blue bar steel cage. In fact, I think they should bring it back because first of all, you know the cage, obviously, the old blue cage.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Someone getting thrown into that cage should never cause someone to start bleeding. Like, it's big, round bars. Like, that's something that, you know, the bleed jobs are obvious. Nowadays, we don't need to bleed, but we need to cut holes in cages so people can climb up them. Just bring back the blue bars, paint it black. Now it's easier for people to climb the cage. They're not going to bleed anyway. It's easier to see through the mesh. Yep. Like, there's so many reasons why you bring back that cage, but I don't think they'll do it because people want to see chain link fence. Well, people want to see barbed wire and other bullshit, too, but you're not getting that from this man. So.
Right.
But that was, you know, my early memory of professional wrestling, and then started watching pretty much religiously. And it was a couple years later when I stumbled across the Superstation on a Saturday night. And at that point, didn't really know what had never heard of the NWA, had yet to pick up a wrestling magazine. So I stumbled across the National Wrestling Alliance and fell in love with that product, as different as it was. Like, 2 weeks later, I picked up my first edition of a wrestling magazine and realized, like, there's this whole world out there of professional wrestling. And the rest, as they say, is history. So definitely old school, but different eras, so to speak. I watched highlights on MSG Network of Hulk Hogan winning his first WWF championship from the Iron Sheik, who was champion for all of 3 weeks. So it's you know, nowadays, Spencer Goodell, you can just have a face beat a face. But back then, there was no way Hulk Hogan was beating Bob Backlund for the WWF Championship. Just wasn't going
to
happen.
Nope, you had to flip it.
Yeah, my dad, by the way, favorite wrestlers were Bruno Sammartino and Antonio Rocca. And the thing about Antonio Rocca, Patrick Davis, he was a high flyer. And my dad liked him because he was a high flyer. Mm-hmm. So everybody talks about old school and high flying and this and that. He was one of the most over guys in the territory as a high flyer back in the day. So very, you know, things really are just a repeat of history, even that argument.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think that it's – we watch it be cyclical over and over and over again. And the things you see, like, it just – it goes, the only thing that isn't cyclical and never makes a comeback, and I even wager now that I still don't believe it, is, you know, tag team wrestling. But, what, you know, what do I know?
or the Undertaker wrestling after he retires.
Or the Undertaker wrestling after he retires. That's true, too. It's funny because I think a lot of people, because of what I chose to do as a fan, because most people, like you, Greg, who's my favorite wrestler in the whole world of all time?
Your favorite wrestler in the whole world of all time?
Of all time, yes.
I mean, there's so many.
But there's one.
You would ask me them.
There's one.
There is one.
Yeah.
There is one.
That I think
are you talking about Christopher Daniels?
No. I'm talking about Nick Bockwinkel.
Okay. Nick Bockwinkel.
Because you know, people talk about, like, because you know my list of favorites. Like, Christopher Daniels is my favorite, that's still, you know, and he's still active and still doing his thing. But when it comes to, like, what we talk about on the show, a lot of the names and stuff that I drop back, you know, I drop back from wrestling to the 70s. Bockwinkel, who's one of my favorite old school dudes. One of my favorite old tag teams from the 70s.
From the 70s?
Do you remember?
We don't.
Yeah.
No, I didn't have this on my rundown.
Dude.
Oh.
Fuji and Saito.
Mr. Fuji. Saito and Professor Toru Tanaka.
Yes, exactly. What I'm getting to here is that I think a lot of people, you know, what happened with me with wrestling is, you know, that sort of moment. Like, you went out and bought wrestling magazines. I went out and, like, found videotapes. Because my dad was friends with the owner of the only video store in my tiny-ass town in Illinois. And he had a lot of wrestling videos. And because he was friends with my dad, I got to rent movies for free. And so you picked it up through, you know, TBS and through your magazines and all that. I went back and just grabbed everything I could watch from there, from that video store. And so outside of being able to watch All American Wrestling, I'm going to forget the names of all of them, but, you know, Wrestling Challenge. Yep.
Superstars of Wrestling.
Superstars, but yeah, but it was all the WWE programming. Like, I sort of came across that, and then the AWA on ESPN, which I kind of like with TNA, stumbled onto by accident. And that was where, you know, I got my first taste of, like, the Midnight Rockers and the first taste of Nick Bockwinkel, past his prime Nick Bockwinkel. You know, Nick Bockwinkel getting his face run at the end there, you know, young Curt Hennig. Before he became, you know, Mr. Scott Hall in his cowboy boots. Like, that's the sort of Curdle the Beers being the epitome of bad guy. You know,
yeah,
stuff like that.
Like a racist bad guy.
Yes. Like that was really what happened with me, and that's where then the rest of it kind of took off.
Which happens.
Yeah.
Which is always fun. And I would rent the videos as well. I would always rent WrestleMania as soon as it was available because we didn't watch it on pay-per-view very often and all of that. So, and you've got to be excited as a sidebar, by the way, that they're adding so many Coliseum home video classics
to the WWE
network.
Yeah, I'm interested. I know I've seen some early returns on some editing that's taken place. So I'm kind of looking forward to that. But, those Coliseum video things, like, there was a whole wall at our radio store. There was like one NWA show. And I just remember, I was like, I don't know who this dude with the white hair is. I'm not going to watch him. I'm going to watch the Hulk Hogan dude who has a cartoon on TV.
They need to put that on the network. Or is it on the network and I just haven't seen it? I don't even know. That would be amazing.
Which one? The cartoon?
The old cartoon.
Yeah, it was. I don't know if it still is, but it definitely was. Because it's bad, man. It's bad.
Oh, it's terrible. The first time I watched He-Man as an adult, I was like, holy shit, this is terrible. Like, there's four characters in every episode, and that's it. Like, it's so bad. So.
Yeah, it was a show designed to sell toys, man.
It was. You know, it's like when I was in college, and they brought back the Dukes of Hazzard and started showing the reruns on what was at the time TNA. And now I'm watching this as a 19-year-old person versus a little kid. And I was like, oh, my God, there's a character named Cooter. Like, it just all made sense now. That never made sense to me as a small child. Yeah, it's amazing the things that can change in your life. So I want to fast forward a little bit because at some point in everyone's life, I think as a wrestling fan, and most people listening to this, if they're a little bit older, if they're younger, they may not have gone through this, but in most people's lives, at some point, they stop watching wrestling for a period of time. And that's happened to most of us. So when did you stop watching wrestling? And I can ask this, I can say when, because I know you did. So when did you stop watching wrestling?
Well, I guess the real question is which time? Because I stopped twice. The first time I think the first time I stopped was around high school. It just wasn't cool anymore. Oddly enough, it was during that period, that kind of dead period where Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels were kind of the top of the company. I remember watching, Raw, Monday Night Raw, like the first few episodes of Monday Night Raw, the first year or season of Monday Night Raw, which would have been like around my freshman year of high school. And I remember just losing interest and doing other things on a Monday night and not really wanting to keep up with it. And so I stopped pretty much through my freshman year, like from about my freshman year at high school through about my freshman, it was around through my freshman year of college.
Okay.
How'd you pick it back up now?
Yes.
I heard Hulk Hogan was a bad guy. And I heard he was on, it's true. Like I heard Hulk Hogan was now a bad guy and was on WCW. I remember when he left the WWE, for WCW and not caring. And then I had a guy on my floor. I still remember this. My guy on my floor who moved in my sophomore year. He lived down the hall from me. And he was like, no, Hulk Hogan's a bad guy now. And there's like this whole NWO thing. And like the bad, it's crazy. Like Razor Ramon and Diesel have invaded WCW. And they're like, the WWE's taking it over. And so I started watching Monday Night Raw. Or I started watching WCW Monday Nitro. And really got it wrapped up into the Sting storyline. With him coming, being up in the rafters with the crow look. And that was also the same time where I was introduced to ECW because this guy that lived down the hall, and I can't for the life of me remember his name now, he had recorded like every, all these episodes and all these shows, and he would put together like massive 6-hour wrestling tapes. Like he would just dub them with his two VCRs. And make copies of whatever anybody wanted. Like he made me a 6-hour tape of anything I wanted. And I remember there were about 3 or 4 specific things that I wanted. And one of them I'm a little disturbed to admit right now, but it was the 92 Royal Rumble was one of them. I wanted the main event from WrestleMania 6. And then I wanted the ECW match where Chris Benoit broke Sabu's neck. And you know how ironic that is talking to me and my feelings about that man. But I remember those, like, I didn't really care. And then I was just like, you know, and then I was just like, anything from ECW that you think would, like, help me understand this show? Because I remember, because there was a brief ECW sort of, not really an invasion angle, but, like, Rob Van Dam and a couple other folks were, like, brought into Raw for a little bit. And I was like, who are these people and why should I care? And that's when ECW tapes started to be, you know, like, I tape traded a little bit in my sophomore year of college and was back on board for a decent period of time until basically until the end of the Monday Night Wars. I think I watched through the last episode of Nitro.
Right. And then, of course, you disappeared for a while, and then your wife has me to thank for roping you back in.
Yeah. Yes, because I didn't get back in until I met you after I'd finished graduate school and was at our first job at the University of Connecticut, and I met you, Q, because that's what we do in our field, and we started talking about wrestling again, and you were like, you should really start watching again, and I was like, maybe I should start watching again, and I pretty much, and since then, like, the rest is history.
Right. Yeah, the rest is long now history, and your wife hates me because of it, but that's okay. She'll get over it, just like my
wife.
Probably
what do you
Oh, we'll have to save that story for when we get to it in the timeline, which may have to be in Kickin' Old School Part 2. We'll see. I did,
you know,
appropriately call this Kickin' Old School 1, not even knowing that we wouldn't get through all the topics because of technical issues, but I never stopped watching to be – it's okay. I never stopped watching, to be 100% honest with you. I, you know, once I went all in, like, I kind of stayed. The only thing that changed for me is I went – when I went to college – and started school at Virginia Tech, you know, when you go to college, and people these days will have a hard time comprehending this, but, like, cable's just there. Like, you just plug in cable in your TV, and you just have whatever cable is there. And for some reason, I still don't know why, we didn't have USA Network. And so I couldn't watch Raw anymore. And there was no more Raw for me. It was just Nitro. So I would watch Nitro and would watch, you know, every Monday night, unless something was going on, I'd watch Nitro, and then I would go online and I'd go to what was then 411 Wrestling, which was a GeoCities website at the time. Like, it wasn't even its own domain. You didn't do that back then. And would read the results that you know, Ashish, and he wasn't even using his name at the time, would put out. And that's how I kept up with everything. Like, that's how I'd follow pay-per-views, that's how I'd follow everything. And honestly, and then I would watch it, like, when I went home for summer breaks or any breaks, it was amazing because, you know, we had Raw, and I could watch Raw. Or I could go off campus and watch Raw, which I did later on in college. And, you know, with fraternity brothers, I'd go to their apartment and watch wrestling because I got to live on campus for free, so I was going to do that. And so Raw kind of came back. And then my senior year, we got USA Network. And so at that point, like, it was on. It was on at that. And now I was flipping channels and doing what everybody was doing in, you know, 1998 to 1999. Although my weekly fraternity meeting was on Monday nights, and you couldn't miss those. So it was real crazy with what we did. But back then, remember, Nitro also had replay for a while. So a lot of times I would catch the replay of Nitro and would watch it on the replay and still would follow along online. Still would go home and look up all the results and keep up and everything. And I think that's why, you know, if it wasn't for that, like, I don't know how big I would be with wrestling on the internet and publishing and webs and all that. Who knows? You can't go back and change all those things and everything. So it's just, but for me, it was, you know, that's, you know, I had to find the alternative methods, so to speak. And it wasn't illegal downloading or streaming, but it was just following along online and looking at it that way. And then the internet's how I found out about ECW and everything else, just like you did later, Ring of Honor and all of that. But it was a very interesting transition to get to that point because I showed up and I, Monday night, I'm flipping through the channels and I'm like, well, what the fuck's going on? Like, where's USA Network? And I'm going back and I'm looking at the list and I'm like, wait, USA Network's not on here. Like, something must be wrong. Because ever since I started watching wrestling on USA Network, I always had USA Network, and now all of a sudden I didn't. And so it was definitely, you know, heartbreaking, so to speak, because Raw, you know, after Raw debuted, and I had access to it for a really long time until I went to college. So it definitely was hard to deal with for a young man who loved wrestling so much. Probably better for me in the long run that I had other things to do with my life, but that's okay.
Right.
Look at me now. Look, you know, back
look
having nothing
you.
To do with
writing a wrestling website.
Exactly. Yeah. Hosting a podcast about wrestling. So it's, making fun of somebody because they can't get on the podcast about wrestling. Like that's what we've come to in our lives
I'm
in this world.
I'm thoroughly baffled. Like, I don't know what's going on.
But, yeah, it'll be fine.
We found a way. We found a way.
There's always a way. If you want to, there is a way. And there's always a way. By the way, you know, we're kicking old school here, but I got to bring it back to modern day WWE because I have to.
It's time for another edition of Baron Corbin Sucks.
I also have to bring in a reminder to everybody that wins and losses most of the time don't matter. So don't at me with the fact that Baron Corbin won this week. He still sucks.
That'll do it for this week's edition of Baron Corbin Sucks.
Andrew Snowflake Blaz, who is running the Chair Shot Twitter during Raw and SmackDown, had to, you know, call me out when Baron Corbin wins his match tonight, which is, of course, Tuesday when we do this show, because he won. And so he had to throw that at me and ask me if he still sucked. And you know what my answer was. Yes. Yes,
he still sucks. Oh, absolutely.
So, that was, we had four bullet points, and we kind of hit bullet point number one and bullet point number two. But, you know, before we have to hit our 3-minute warning, Patrick O'Dowd, just because we teased it earlier, and we've told this story before, but why not tell it again? Tell the people about the time you forgot your wedding date.
Okay. So this is also Greg trying to introduce me to her. So I think that's important to set in the foreground of all this. So Greg has brought me back into professional wrestling. And we're talking, he started talking to me about this company, this independent company that was kind of a big deal, called Ring of Honor. And they were kind of, you know, I started watching TNA about the same time. TNA was on, I can't remember which network. It was on like a random local sports network or something. Like it was one of those deals.
Yeah,
I remember being fascinated by them.
Fox.
Yeah. And talking about Christopher Daniels and AJ Styles, you know, these guys are like, wow, these guys are really good. Well, these guys work this show, these Ring of Honor shows. We should try to go sometime. And so I was like, oh yeah, maybe that'll be fun. And we're heading our way into the summer. The academic year is ending, and I think we were at lunch one day, because what we would do over the summer when the students weren't around, we would all gather and do lunch out at a picnic, you know,
like
have an hour or whatever. Yeah, for like 3 hours. And we're all like sitting there, and you were just like, oh, hey, it looks like Ring of Honor is going to be coming to Connecticut. And it's pretty. And Matt Hardy is going to be taking on Christopher Daniels on July 16th. Do you think you could go? And I was like, you know what, dude? I don't think I got anything going on that day. Let me just really quickly call my wife, or call Julie. Because at the time she was not my wife, call Julie and just make sure that there's nothing going on today. I was like, I think I can go. So I pick up my phone and I call up Julie and I'm like, hey Julie, what are we doing on? Or I was like, what am I doing on July 16th? And she's like, you're getting married. And I took the phone and I looked up from it and I was like, oh yeah, Greg, dude, I can't go. And that was it. And that would be the first of many times where my ineptitude as a partner. But yes, I completely forgot that I was getting married on the 16th of July and was going to try and go see Fate of an Angel, which Grant saw and went with our good friend Jerry.
Yes, poor Jerry, forced to go to this wrestling show in was it Enfield? It was the other city that we
Bender.
Would go. What was it called?
Windsor or something like that?
Yeah, well, maybe it was Enfield, one of those ones. Yeah, I don't know. It's one of them. But yeah, we went
rec center.
Yeah, I don't know. But we saw, you know, we saw that first Ring of Honor show. You weren't there. That was, of course, you know, CM Punk versus James Gibson, Christopher Daniels versus, you know, Matt Hardy, like you talked about. Jimmy Rave versus Samoa Joe took place on that show. It's when, you know, the embassy and all that was going on. And, of course, the final match of the first half, the first main event, calling at the time, a young, unestablished Roderick Strong versus AJ Styles. So, definitely, it's so funny. And this was 2005. So, people that are now watching the product and seeing people like Roderick Strong, like, yeah, he's been around that long. Like, that was 13 years ago. And the rest was, you know, as they say, became history, so to speak.
All right, gentlemen, you have 3 minutes, and you better make it good.
We got 3 minutes, and we're out of here. The clock is ticking, and we're in the clear. We got 3 minutes, and we're out of here. We got 3 minutes, and we're out of here.
You know, I should have made that the 3 minute warning, because where we are time wise, we don't even really have 3 minutes left in the program. So, we're going to have to kick it old school again, because there's two more bullet points to go over. And they're bullet points that I know you would love to talk about once you see what they are. So they're exciting.
Here's the thing. I've got the studio up. I just can't get it won't talk to my microphone. Like, that's what's going on. I've changed so many settings right now to get this thing to work. It won't talk to my headset. So weird.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. Maybe it's disenabled. Maybe it's not enabled. Maybe it's disabled. I almost said disenabled, which is stupid. Maybe it's disabled, and who knows. But we'll have to find out next week, Patrick Dow, because guess what?
Yeah.
We're out of time. That's going to do it for this week's edition of the Greg DeMarco Show. So we appreciate you listening. We hope that you found some enjoyment out of these topics, and it kind of brings you back to when you became a fan. You can tweet us at ChairShotGreg and at Wrestling Realist. Let us know how you got into this crazy world of professional wrestling. And we'll come back at you next week with more, maybe some new stuff, maybe some old stuff. But it's all about professional wrestling. Go to thechairshot.com. Always use your head. We'll see you next week.
Makes a man? Is it the power in his hands? Is it his quest for glory? Give it all you got to fight to the top, so we can know your story.
Greg DeMarco, I need you. I can't live without you. I want you right now.